Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsythe. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Take your Bibles, locate 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. With what do you associate the word power? When you think of the word power, what do you associate that with? Could it be the power of water, the power of a river, which is constructive when it's harnessed and controlled, but is very destructive when it's uncontrolled and is a raging flood? That's power. It's an example of power. Do you associate power with atomic energy? Atomic energy, the power capable of leveling Hiroshima, or fueling a mighty ship, or lighting millions of homes. That's power, is it not? Or do you associate power with governmental authority? As we see what's happening in the world, and we see what's happening in our country, the government trying to control all that we do. Do we associate power with government authority? Then there's the power of peer pressure. Peer pressure is a tremendous power, is it not? Peer pressure is a tremendous power to make us submit to the will and the ways of other people or everybody else. What do you associate power with? We want to talk about the spirit within and the spirit without. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Familiar verse. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. You're looking at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Join me in chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, love one another, and he gave us, as he gave us, commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, which because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Over in chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 5, 3 and 4. 4 and 5, excuse me. Chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Power. What's the definition of power? How do we define it? Well, power is a force. It is a force with the power to act, with the ability to act and to achieve. Again, the definition of power is that it's a force or an entity that's able to act and to achieve. A car without an engine is only good for what? It's only good to look at. It's only good to display. Cars must have engines to cause them to act or to achieve. They must have power, a force to cause them to act, if you will, or achieve their purpose for which they are made. Likewise, a Christian is to be more than a showpiece. Is to be more than a showpiece of decency, more than a showpiece of morality, more than a showpiece of good citizenry or good citizenship. A Christian must have the power to act or to achieve his purpose in life. You, as a Christian, must have power to achieve your mission in life or your purpose in life. A Christian must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Or he is nothing but a display. He's nothing but someone to look at, but accomplishes nothing. A Christian must have the power. You must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God to function as light in this world, giving forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have the Holy Spirit power to be salt in the earth. We just had a message on that. We're to be the salt of the earth. You are, as a Christian, a change agent. That's your purpose in this life, is to be a change agent, to change people in the world, to change the world as much as you possibly can. That is your purpose in life. We note the words that Jesus, his last words to his disciples. And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he says there, you will be change agents. Basically, that's what he's saying. You will be a change agent in this world. You'll be witnesses to this world. Why is he giving us power? Why is he giving us that ability to act and to achieve? So that we may be light in the world, change agents in the world. We're supposed to be agents that change people, no matter where we go, what we do, what we're involved in. So his last words to his disciples was, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall change the world. You shall be change agents in this world. George Mueller made this statement. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. We must have power for us to act and achieve. Faith begins where power ends. Where man's power ends, excuse me, he said. Faith begins where man's power ends. Where your physical strength, your mental strength ends, that's where faith begins. We're to rely upon Christ, upon God, upon the Holy Spirit to have the power to be a Christian, to have the power to be a change agent in this world. Consider with me three thoughts about power. We want to look at first of all, at the power within. The power within. In your text, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. He that keeps his commandments dwells in him. He that keeps his commandments dwells in the Lord, and he is in him. By this we know that he, Christ, abides in us. How do we know that Christ abides in us? He says, by the Spirit which he has given. How do you know Christ abides in you? He says in this verse. By the power that he has given you. By the Holy Spirit that he has given you. How do you know you're a Christian? By the Holy Spirit that's given to you. The Holy Spirit living in you. He that keeps his commandments dwells in him. And he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us. And how do we know? By the Spirit which he has given us. Much confusion today surrounds the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians are confused in many ways about the Holy Spirit of God. And because of this, many believers do not have a vital relationship with God himself. And because of the confusion about the Holy Spirit, many Christians do not have the power of God to be a change agent, to serve Jesus Christ in this world. And we have to remember this. The Apostle Paul warned us about this, did he not? Now, he said in the last days, but it's true basically throughout life for a Christian. Paul warned Christians that as time passes, many will have a form of godliness. What is a form? Just an outward image. So he is telling us, and Paul warns us about this, many will come to the place to have a form of godliness that is an outward image of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the power of God that's in their lives. They're empty, basically. They have a form, but they're not functioning as they're supposed to function. What's a Christian's first experience with the power of God? A Christian's first experience with the power of God is at salvation. Amen? When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, folks, you receive the power of God at that time. There's a power that takes place in your life, in your heart, in your mind. Is that true? You first experience the power of God at salvation. That power becomes evident when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Why? Because you are transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Spirit transforms you, makes you different, recreates you, if you will, into a new creature. A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Christians change at salvation. Amen. When they get saved, they're not the same. And if they are the same, then they're not saved. Because the power of the Holy Spirit at salvation transforms you, makes you a new creature in Jesus Christ. You now have a mind and a heart that seeks after God and loves God, wants to have a relationship with Him. You want to know what the Bible says. You want to come to church and be with God's people. You want to tell other people what happened to you because you have something different than you used to. The Holy Spirit of God becomes evident in your life and the power of God at salvation. He baptizes you into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He then resides in you, and He is sealed in you until the day of redemption, till you go to be with the Lord. Amen. The power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. It is impossible to be a Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to be a Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit. In a Christian's life, the Holy Spirit continually convicts you of sin. With the Holy Spirit in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, He continually convicts you of sin. He makes you constantly conscious of God's presence in your life. He opens God's word to you. Because for you're saved and have the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand God's word. You can read it. It will not open up to you. Unless you seek, go through the salvation passages, the Holy Spirit takes that, opens up your heart and your mind, and again transforms you into a new person. Then you begin to understand the Bible. It becomes knowledgeable to you. He opens the Word of God. He opens up your understanding. The Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit guides you. If you do not have a constant conviction of sin, if you do not have a consciousness of God's presence in your life, if you do not and cannot understand God's word, if you have no guidance by the Holy Spirit of God, you're not a saved person. Because that's what happens at salvation. You experience this power, the power of God at salvation. It changes you. It makes you different. It makes you new. Your mind's changed. Your heart's changed. Your desires changed. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Jesus promised to send power. He promised to send power, the Comforter, to be with you always. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say amen.
Amen.
As a Christian, you have the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit in you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 in our text. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Now, folks, this is not a mere confession of the historical fact of Jesus Christ. By the way, it is historically true that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth. Amen. That he went to a cross, bled, and shed his blood for our sins, paid the penalty for our sins. He was buried 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. But he rose again.
Amen.
Amen. He rose again. That's all historical facts. What will you do with Jesus Christ? That's the big question. Every person has to make a decision about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he is. So this is not a mere confession of the historical fact of Jesus Christ. To confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh and to receive him and accept him as your personal Savior is to come to a point in your life where you bow to him. You bow before him. You worship him. You adore him. You lift him up. You glorify him. Amen. You honor him in all that you do, what you think and how, and what you say and where you go and how you dress and what your attitude is. You honor him. You serve him. He's established the church, gave spiritual gifts to you that you might serve God in special ways in the body of Jesus Christ. That's what the spiritual gifts are all about. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit to Christians to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. What's your spiritual gift? Do you know? Have you researched it? Have you studied the scripture to find out what applies to you and what your gifts are as far as serving Jesus Christ in the church and serving other Christians? And again, you're to glorify him in your life. You're to lift him up. You're to lift him up. You're to glorify him. This is the evidence. This is the sign that the Holy Spirit is in you. You change. You serve God. You love him. You live for him. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit in you, the power of God in you. You will acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you do. Now, question. Is this true in your life? Is this true in your life? You're honoring Jesus Christ in everything you do. Doesn't mean you're perfect. You never will be. Lord Jesus Christ is the only one perfect. Amen.
Amen.
But you're to have these evidences in your life that you're a Christian, that you've experienced the power of God in salvation, that you're a changed person, but that you're also a change agent in the world. To glorify Christ, to lift him up, to honor him, serve him. Be conscious of him all the time. The power within us. The Holy Spirit power within us. That's an essential thing. That's the most important thing. And is that true? because God says it's supposed to be. He's telling us so in our text here. So this is the power of God within us, and I trust you have the power of God in you. I trust you've experienced God's power in salvation. You've experienced God's power, the Holy Spirit, in your life. Constantly, being constantly reminded, warned against sin. Conscious of God's presence continually. Well, the second thing we want to look at, and the second thought about power, consider the power without. There is a power without. That is, there's a power within the world. There's a power outside of us that's working all the time. And my friends, if you've been watching anything and know anything about the events of the day, you are recognizing and you're seeing the power without. You're seeing that power now work and becoming more intense. And I believe in the latter days, as we come to the end of time, that that power will increase. It will strengthen. It will spread. It will become more powerful. And you're seeing it work today across the world in Israel. And what happened in that place? That's the power that's without. That's the power that's working. In the world is the power of Antichrist. That's the power that's working against you. That's the power that's working against God. That's the power that's working against the church of Jesus Christ and everything good, everything right, everything spiritual. That's a power that's working today. Again, our text, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world. It's working and always has worked. This is not talking about the Antichrist of the tribulation, though he's coming too. And I think what we're seeing with the time and the nations and all that's happening in the world, that's coming soon. Tribulation, I believe, is on its way. The Antichrist will soon, I think, be recognized. But that can't happen till after the church is taken out of the way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a restrainer that's holding him back. But the spirit of Antichrist is what it says in our text. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. This is the opposing power that works against you as a believer. It is the power of the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist works in all those who do not acknowledge Christ as God the Savior. That would be who? All lost people. Those without Jesus Christ. Even good, decent people have the spirit of Antichrist. You know that. Ephesians chapter 2 describes who they are. They describe the spirit of Antichrist that works in those who do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God the Savior. Ephesians 2 says, these are those who are dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. They are those who live according to the course of the world. That is, they follow the world. They follow the trends of the world. They follow the ideas of the world, the theories of the world. Those are dead in trespasses and sins. They live according to the course of the world, following the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Tell me. Satan. Tell me loudly.
Satan.
Who is the God of this world?
Satan.
Satan. You see, people who do not follow Jesus Christ actually follow the God of the world, though they think they're going their own way, doing their own thing. They're not. They're following the God of this world, and they're following the course of this world. It says and goes on to say in Ephesians 2, they live to satisfy the lust of their flesh. They live just to satisfy their own desires, not the desires of God and of the mind. And by nature, they are the children of God's wrath. Yeah. Simply by their nature, they are children of wrath, wrathful people. Wrathful people. This is the spirit that is now and has been working in the world. This is the spirit of the God of this world. And that is the spirit of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this. If the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Men without Jesus Christ are blind. They've been blinded by the God of this world. He's blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Now, does that bring any concern to us? Does that bring any conviction to us that lost people who follow the course of this world are blind and they're blinded by the God of this world? Does that concern you? Does that bother you? Do you have any care about that? That people you work with, go to school with, family members, people that you love and associate with, neighbors, so forth and so on, they're blind if they do not know Christ. Now, if they're blind, they're in darkness, right? Yeah. What do they need then light. If they're in darkness? They need light. Yeah, they need light. And by the way, what did Jesus tell you? What did Jesus tell you? You are the light of the world. Yeah. You are the salt of the earth. They're not going to know unless they see light. Light is supposed to bear light. We're supposed to give out the light of the gospel to those that all that we can because they're blind. See, we think people are just making their own choice, going their own way. They just don't want to be bothered with religion. They don't want to be bothered with Jesus Christ. So we just don't want to bother them because they don't want to be bothered. And the point about it all is they're blind. They don't understand. They can't see it unless somebody tells them the truth.
Amen.
And you are the change agents. You are the light that has to tell them that they're blind. If the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The lost are blind. They're in darkness, and they need the light. The Bible tells us and God tells us that the God of this world is described as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. I looked up that word devour. I said, well, what does that mean? That means he swallows you. He'll simply overwhelm you and swallow you. He will squander, waste, and consume you. That's what it means. So the God of this world is described as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may swallow, whom he may squander or waste or consume. That is control you, basically. The person Satan And the spirit of Antichrist works against you as a servant of God. These are your enemies. The devil, the world, the spirit of Antichrist is your enemy. It's your adversary. They live and work and operate in opposition to you. The wicked ones who will pretend to be your friend, by the way. They will pretend to be your friend. They will pretend to be religious. And that's why we have to be careful about trends and fads that come down the road. Because they turn themselves into angels of light. This is why he tells us in our text that we are to test the spirits. We are to test the spirits. We're to test every person to see if they are of God or of Antichrist. And if they know not Jesus Christ, my friends, remember, they are of the spirit of Antichrist. This is why we're told to test the spirits. Continually to test them. Always be on guard. Always watch. The spirit of Antichrist is full of deceit. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It's not any surprise then that people with the spirit of Antichrist will pose as servants or as people of God. We have a lot of that happening today.
Oh, yes.
Religion is all around us.
Yeah.
But religion may not be, and so much of the time is not, of Jesus Christ. And his virgin birth, his death, burial, and resurrection, salvation only in him. They will teach you that salvation is in the church. Salvation is in doing the best you can and being a decent person in life. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. There's no other way for people to go to heaven. So, my friends, we are to test the spirits. If not, we will be gullible and carried about with every wind of doctrine. If we don't test the spirits, we'll be caught up in modern religious fads that come down the theological path. And they come at us all the time. And especially now with the internet and television and all that. You get so much information. You can be so confused so quickly. That's why God ordained the local church, by the way, with pastors and deacons that preach the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's a guardian of the truth. It's a pillar and ground of the truth, the local church is. That's why Jesus Christ established it. This is his body. It's not the TV preacher. It's not all that's going on in the internet. You're better off staying away from all of it. The spirit and the power within us leads us in all truth. He'll lead us in all truth. The spirit within. The power within us. Be warned. The spirit of Antichrist tries to make sin look normal. And to make righteousness look weird and strange. And it's all around us. It's all around us. Third thought to consider about power. This third thought, consider the power that overcomes the world. The power that overcomes the flesh. The power that overcomes the devil. The power of the Holy Spirit within us is greater than all other powers. Say amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, the power of God in us, is greater than all the powers we talked about today.
Amen.
It's the most powerful force on earth.
Amen.
John 4, 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, talking about you, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
You have a power in you. You are more powerful than all the other powers in the world.
Amen.
Because you have the Holy Spirit of God in you that overcomes all the powers of the world.
Amen.
You remember Elisha? Anybody know who Elisha is? Raise your hand if you know who he is. I'm picking at you. 2 Kings chapter 6. You remember that account? Elisha is surrounded by the Syrian army. Elisha's servant was filled with fear, and he asked, "What shall I do? What will we do?" And you know, that's a fear that grips us all once in a while. Oh my, what am I going to do? Well, Elisha gives him an answer. He says this, "Don't be afraid. Those with us are more than those with them." Elisha prayed, and the Lord opened the servant's eyes to see that all around them, mountains filled with the host of the Lord.
Amen.
That host is always around us. That power is always in us. Amen. Now, we're a little different. See, we have that power residing in us. Elisha's servant didn't. But we have that power residing in us. In light of all this, folks, you need a fresh vision of the power and resources available to you as a Christian. You need to recognize this power. You need to know this power is here. You need to let the Holy Spirit's power control you. You need to let Him teach you, to guide you, to strengthen you, to empower you to do anything you need to do as a Christian. You have struggle. We all struggle witnessing. But why do we struggle witnessing? I'll tell you why. We rely upon our own strength.
Yeah.
And we don't rely upon the power within us. If you rely upon the power within us, you'll have no fear about telling someone else about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need a fresh vision of the power and resources available to us in the power of God. Nothing or anyone is greater than the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And how easily we forget that. And our faith goes out the window. Faith leaves us when we have to witness to somebody. Faith leaves us when we get real sick.
Amen.
Faith leaves us when trouble comes.
Amen.
You are to appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God..." Is that a Christian? Is that you? You've been born of God?
Amen.
"Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our," what's the word?
Faith.
It's your faith that overcomes the world. It's your faith that overcomes your fear of witnessing. It's faith that overcomes those things.
Amen.
But rather than rely upon the power of God in us,
amen,
we lose our faith in Him. Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Amen.
That he has the power of God within him. Unbelievers say, "Seeing is believing."
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what the world says, isn't it? You show me and I'll believe it. Seeing is believing. But those who know the Lord, you will say, only one life, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Amen?
Amen.
The same God that you trust to save you from hell, from eternal separation from God, from eternal punishment, that same God gives you power to live this life and provides for you. Now, somehow we can trust him to save us from burning flames of hell forever. But we can't trust him to live for him. We can't trust him to witness to somebody. We can't trust him to take a stand when we need to take a stand. His power in us is only limited by our lack of faith. What does chapter 5, verse 4 say? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even your what? Come on.
Faith.
Even your what?
Faith.
Even your what?
Faith.
You trust in God. You rely upon God. You believe him.
Amen.
The lack of faith is not trusting. The lack of faith is not believing. This world system is a monstrous scheme of temptation and deceit. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
This world system is a monstrous scheme of temptation and deceit, causing you to doubt the Word of God. Mm-hmm. To keep your eyes, the world wants you to keep your eyes on the temporary and not on the eternal. Christians keep their eyes on the eternal. This temporary, the temporal, is going to pass away. It's going to all be burned up. It's going to all be gone. All this won't amount to anything. But what you do with Jesus Christ will amount to everything.
Amen.
So as a Christian, again, you say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you. Question, does he control you? Have you submitted totally to God? Let him have his way in you. Let him do his will through you. And that's through the Holy Spirit of God. You know this, Ephesians 5:18 commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's a command. Why? Because he knows we got to have the power. We got to continually be controlled by his power, by his presence. So therefore, it's necessary for you to get rid of sin in your life. It's necessary for you to get rid of your disobedience to God in your life. It's necessary for you to submit yourself to God and to obey him. And when that happens, the power of God will be in you. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you will continually to turn away from sin. You'll continually turn away from the world. And you will turn toward God. Is this true in your life? Is this true in your life? Do you have the power of God in you? Are you relying upon that power? It's the greatest power in the world. I close with this. John W. Peterson wrote, "Come, Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling. We need your love and mighty power. Move now among us, Stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, revive the church today. Let's stand for prayer, please. Father, we stand at this time, bow our hearts before you. We thank you, Father, that we, and I trust all of us, have experienced the power of God in salvation. That we've been changed, made new creatures in Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that we, each one of us, will rely upon, have faith in, trust the power of the Holy Spirit within us. For without him we can do nothing. Remind us, Father, that we are change agents in this world. We are to be light in a dark place. We are to be salt, a preservative. We thank you that you love us. Thank you for the power that's in us. And pray the Holy Spirit, that power would work among us now. Help us to get to that point where we need to be. Help us to surrender ourselves, to stop sinning and to obey you in all that we do. I ask you to accomplish your will now in this invitation.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.